And tell me a little bit about what it was like to work with Carl on Contact, one of my favorite movies and a great book.
Well, it was a feast of ideas. We worked together for 20 years. We were inseparable. We had two children together. And so there was no dividing line between work and family and fun. Of course, we were working on some of the most interesting, intriguing questions of all. And so it was just a complete joy to work with Carl. You know, I think one of the secrets of his talent to communicate was that he was in love. He was in love with nature and reality. He was in love with the world, the universe revealed by science. And that love, that sense of being in love, was infectious, and he communicated. And the project that Michael and I have done together at Home in the Cosmos with Annie Drian is a kind of a visit to my home to hear 3.5 hours of the stories of what it was like to make contact, Cosmos, to create the Voyager interstellar message, to live with Carl. It's a kind of knowing what the man was inside and outside. And that was the great thing about him, is that person that you admired from a distance, who was so communicative and so open, was the person he was inside. There was no gap between his presentation of self to the world and the way he conducted himself.
Well, we lost him way too early, 62 years old.
Yeah.
He died of pneumonia, but it was what, complications from bone marrow transplants?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes, George, exactly. He mounted a valiant battle for his life for 2 years. He had 3 bone marrow transplants during that time. During the time, he wrote 2 books, and the transplant doctors said that they actually hadn't had any patients who had actually finished reading a book during the course of a transplant because it was such an ordeal. Carl wrote The Demon-Haunted World and Billions during those 2 years. And, he faced his death with a kind of courage that inspires me to this day. He was unflinching, always looking forward. And he loved life so much that he really fought valiantly.
Well, I'm glad we're able to keep alive his memory with his works and your work and as well, and with this 39 video podcast set, as you just mentioned, at Home in the Cosmos with Ann Drian. Michael, tell me a little bit about your involvement with this and your interest here.
Well, certainly, as I mentioned earlier, I have always been, since I'm a kid, fascinated with astronomy, and I'm the world's greatest media freak. Put it together, and you have a Carl Sagan fan. I always had a fascination for Carl Sagan, loved what he did, never had the opportunity to meet him, and of course have mourned for years that he's no longer with us. As I'm watching the development of media, I'm realizing that the internet provides opportunity to do unlimited programming. And I find, aside from programs like yours, that most of my interest in science or my interest in stories about science are not really satisfied by watching the Science Channel or the Discovery mm-hmm. Channels or public television. Everything is compacted into the same story between commercial breaks. Very limited. I figured, what would it be like to be able to just do hours and hours on any topic, let alone one I'm interested in, and put it on the internet? So I contacted Andrian, who is about as close to Carl Sagan as you can get.
Remember,
she collaborated on most of his major projects. And she loved the idea. We got to know each other over a year talking about it. And then we brought our camera crew into her home. And it's not an interview. It's Anne talking to the camera in different rooms of her house, around the grounds, the archives, talking to the camera as if you were sitting across the table from her, having dinner with her, lunch with her, in her living room, in the backyard, even at the graveside of Carl Sagan. And the most intimate details about his work, about their life together, and the storybook romance they had. And bringing it back to your question, why me? because I love where the media is going, and this was for me a labor of love, not only the subject matter, but the idea that a podcast, or in this case, 39 video podcasts put together like an old rock and roll concept album, can be put out there from producers direct to the consumers without any middlemen, without any censors, without any editors, and without any kind of commercial restraint. So it's just a wonderful project on so many levels.
Anne, were you happy with your performance?
Actually, I'm proud of the fact that I think there were virtually everything was a single take. It was from the heart.
I don't even do that, Anne.
Isn't that true, Michael? I mean,
the thing about you, Anne, that is so wonderful, and I have to tell everybody because it's almost shocking, and I imagine Carl was the same way, that you speak off the top of your head as if it were. As if it were being written and edited.
Thank you.
We were prepared to do hours and hours and hours of editing and putting things together. It wasn't necessary. And this was spontaneous. This was not a scripted production. You could take a transcript of what Anne was talking about, print it, and it would be a marvelous book that would need very little editing. The woman is an articulate wonder. And I don't know, maybe you're rubbed off on each other over those 20 years, Anne.
Well, I think we did learn a lot from each other. It was, being together, we became much more than the sum of our parts. There was a complementarity there that was amazing. And just a kind of a oneness. And so I always felt like we were like sea mammals, moving. Ever seen like sea mammals moving together on the hull of a ship, and then all of a sudden one of them, they'll peel off and they move as if they've spoken to each other.
Yeah.
They're moving so fast.
Yeah, they're in harmony with each other.
They're in total harmony. Yeah. And that's what it felt like being with Carl. It was just, it was so interesting. And, of course, the greatest thing was that there wasn't a single question that would occur to me. And I couldn't turn to him and ask. And, it was in the days before Google and Wikipedia. It was really like living with someone who had that entire Wikipedia global network in their brain. He was very learned and loved to explain things, as we all know.
And did you ever, after, let's say, an event, a speaking event, or Carl was on a television show, did you ever pull him aside and critique him?
Oh, yeah, of course. He loved that.
Good.
And, there was no, he would laugh so hard. I mean, yes, he was open to that. And, it was, he was so secure. He was so fully realized as a person. He was so at home in himself and in the cosmos that he could take it and learn and teach.
Was he baffled by the cosmos? Just the awe of it?
Yes, and that's what I think you've just hit exactly what the secret of his greatness was, is that he was in equal measures filled with both skepticism and wonder, not one at the expense of the other. He wanted to be skeptical because he didn't want to just believe what he wanted to believe. He wanted to know, and so he was skeptical, but equally filled with wonder. So he wasn't one of those closed-minded people who have no sense of the great romance of life. And it was that skepticism and wonder together. It's such a potent force because it's imagination and critical thinking. It gets you to the stars.